This week, this conference is all about becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. In the church, we have been led to believe that if you are born again, you're automatically a disciple. But the truth is, you can be born again and not be a disciple. You see, a disciple is a disciplined follower. Doing good things to people does not mean you're a disciple. Even lost people can do good things to other people. But to truly be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to continue in His Word. This means whatever we see in Scripture, we have a responsibility to apply it to our lives. God says that if we are going to understand His Word, it has to be taught to us line upon line, precept upon precept. By leaving it line upon line and precept upon precept, we are going to understand the Bible in context. When you understand the Bible in context, you will not come up with strange doctrines. But many people do not leave the Bible in context. It's because they do not understand it in context. Because when you clearly understand the Bible in context, it is essentially impossible to teach anything other than truth. We have placed a strong emphasis on praying in tongues this week. And we're going to continue to do that for the remainder of this conference. We've also placed a strong emphasis on avoiding false teachers. These are people in the body of Christ who have gone astray from the solidity of truth. They are not denying Jesus. They are not denying God. They're not telling you don't read the Bible. But they're twisting things in the Word of God and presenting wrong doctrines. And the reason for that is because they themselves have been deceived. And the problem with deception is this. When you are deceived, you do not know it until truth is revealed to you. But once truth is revealed to you, you then have a choice. You can embrace the truth and lay down the wrong belief. Or you can reject the truth and hold on to the wrong belief. In Scripture, we see that a lot of these false teachers are going to be leading many Christians away from truth. In our session this afternoon, Pastor Bronk brought out some powerful teaching. He took us verse by verse through the book of Jude. Why don't you go ahead and turn over there now? The book of Jude. I am not going to reteach everything Pastor Bronk taught this afternoon. But I'm going to review it very briefly because it sets the stage for what we want to hear tonight. In Jude chapter 1, well, there's only one chapter. In verse 3, he writes this: Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Mstari wa tatu anasema, wapenzi nilipokuwa nikifanya bidii sana kuandikia habari ya wokovu ambao ni wetu sisi sote, niliona imelazimu kuandikia ili niwaone kwamba mshindanie imani iliyokabidhiwa watakatifu mara moja tu.
Briefly, what was happening was this. Jude was going to write a letter to Christians. And as he was preparing to write this letter, the Holy Spirit brought something to his attention. And it had to do with the teaching that was going on in the church. And Jude said he realized that it was needful for him to encourage them to earnestly contend for the faith. Then he clarifies what he means by the faith. He says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. In other words, earnestly contend for all of the teaching that has been delivered unto the church by the apostles. This phrase, earnestly contend, presents this picture. Today we could explain it like this. Two boxers are in the ring. And they begin pounding each other. And the goal is for the one boxer to beat the other. And he stands in the middle of the ground, of the middle of the ring, refusing to give ground. And he fights and he punches and he hits and he punches. But the other fighter is hitting him as well. But our champion stands there and fights. No matter how much pain he endures, he refuses to give up because he's the champion. And he fights and he fights and he fights until he puts the other man down.
Na anapigana
Jude is saying you are going to have to go toe to toe with some people when it concerns the truth that has been preached.
Yuda anasema kwamba itawalazimisha muende wengine kidole kwa kidole kuhusiana na ukweli ambao unahubiriwa.
Then in verse 4 he explains or begins explaining who these people are. He says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. And he continues to explain that these are preachers and teachers in the body of Christ. And he says they have crept in unawares because nobody noticed there was a problem at first. They carried a Bible just like all of us. They raised their hands and sang praises just like us. They would stand up and teach sermons that sounded very good. But every now and then they would say something in their sermons that wasn't right. But because they looked like and acted like all the rest of the Christians, people began to accept the teachings. And these teachings were leading people away from the truth. And in verse 12 it says this. These preachers are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots.
Mstari wa 12 nasema, watu hawa ni miamba yenye hatari katika karamu zenu za upendo, walapo karamu pamoja nanyi, wakijilisha pasipo hofu na mawingu yasiyo na maji.
In the Old Testament, there is a prophecy that says Christians are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. But here it says that these trees have begun to wither over time. Some of these trees have fruit that is all withered and shrunken. Some of these trees are producing no fruit whatsoever. And God says some of them have gone so far they are twice dead. This literally means that at one time they were lost and then accepted Jesus and were born again and made alive, but now they have turned their back on truth and walked away from God to where they are again spiritually dead. God says that they have been plucked up by the roots, which means they have been completely separated from Jesus Christ. Now these teachers have been sowing false doctrine into the lives of many Christians. And there are a lot of Christians who have been listening to these teachings. And slowly but surely they've been drifting away from truth. And we wonder what can be done to restore these people. Because it seems like no matter what we say to them, they will not listen. There was a time in the past when we could talk with them and they would listen. They spent time meditating in Scripture. They spent time worshiping and fasting. And they spent time praying in the Spirit. But gradually they have begun leaving those things behind. They have been believing doctrine that is steering them away from doing those things. But yet they haven't gone so far that they have cut themselves off from Jesus. Now we talk to them and we try to reason with them. But they don't want to hear it and they think we're the ones that are wrong. They think that they have come into a realm of new revelation from God. But in reality, they have stepped into a snare of bondage. So we are at a loss as to what to do. Now pick this up in verse 20. Remember, Jude said that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the truth that has been delivered unto us. Where is that truth? It is in our hearts. That means we must earnestly contend for the truth that has been sown into our spirit. And here's how we do that. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 20.
Mstari wa 20 nasema hivi. Bali ninyi wapenzi mkijijenga juu ya imani yenu iliyo katika iliyo takatifu sana na kuomba katika Roho Mtakatifu.
So Jude has told us that we are to earnestly contend for the faith.
Yuda anatuambia kwamba lazima tukapate kushindania ukweli na ile imani.
Now he tells us, as we're praying in tongues, we're building ourselves up on that truth.
Na anasema sasa ya kwamba tunapoomba kwenye ndimi ama kwenye lugha, tunaenda kujijenga katika imani yetu.
But at the same time, there's another byproduct of praying in tongues.
Na katika wakati ule ule, kuna ile masalia ama kuna ile kitu ambao inakuja na kule kuomba kwa lugha.
And we see this in verse 21.
Na tunaona hiyo faida ya kunena katika lugha katika mstari wa 21.
Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So as I'm praying in tongues, I'm building myself up on my most holy faith, and I'm keeping myself in the love of God. Now the love of God is not human love. The love of God comes only from God. Romans chapter 5:5 says this. That the Holy Ghost sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. Unless we are fellowshipping with God, we cannot experience His love developing inside us. just because I say I love you does not mean I am operating in the love of God. Even atheists can love people. But the love of God is something that supersedes anything that is human. We are totally unfamiliar with the love of God. But when we get born again, that is the beginning of understanding the love of God. And if we do not continue in fellowship with Him, that love will not be shed abroad. So here I am, I've been praying in tongues. I'm building myself up on my most holy faith. But I'm also keeping myself in the love of God. And here is one of the benefits of that. Beginning in verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with his exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Waumieni wengine walio na shaka, na wengine waokoeni kwa kuwanyakua katika moto, na wengine waumieni kwa hofu mkilichukua hata wazi vazi lililotiwa uchafu na mwili. Yeye awezaye kuwalinda ninyi msijikwae na kuwasimamisha mbele ya utukufu wake bila mawa katika furaha kuu. Yeye aliye Mungu pekee yake, Mwokozi wetu wa Yesu Kristo, Bwana wetu. Utukufu una yeye na ukuu na uwezo na nguvu tangu milele na sasa na hata milele. Amina.
How many of you understand that if we do not pray for people, nobody else will? The lost are not praying for the lost to get saved. We are God's only hope here on this earth. And if we don't pray for the lost, who will? But the same thing is true for all of these people who have begun drifting away from the foundation of truth. If we don't pray for them, who will? If we don't pray for the restoration, who will? The problem is, we don't know how to pray for these people. We've tried talking with them and reasoning with them, but it doesn't work. However, the Holy Spirit knows how to reason with these people. So I yield myself over to praying in tongues. And my heart is broken for these people. But God's heart is more broken for them. So as I am praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is praying through me in intercession for these people. And this opens a door in the realm of the Spirit for God to begin invading the lives of these people who are backsliding.
Upenyo,
And the day can come that they will have their eyes opened by God's presence and they'll realize they've been wrong. Even if they don't come back to me and say, "I'm so sorry, I was wrong." I don't need to hear that they have made things right. They just need to make things right. And I will hear the results of my prayers when I get to heaven. But my responsibility here on earth is to pray. And God says in verse 23, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire."
Na Mungu anasema kwa mstari wa 23, na wengine waokoeni kwa kuwanyakua katika moto.
Think of it like this.
Hebu sikia hivi.
Here is one of these Christians who has drifted so far away from God, they are almost at the point of cutting themselves off from Jesus.
Hawa ni hao watu ambao wamepotoka, wameondoka katika uwepo wa Yesu Kristo, na wakatenda ile nyanda kidogo tu wanaenda kukatiliwa mbali kutoka kwa ushirika wa Yesu.
If that happens, what are they facing?
Kama hilo jambo linatendeka,
eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Eternal damnation in the lake of fire.
Kile ambacho inangojea ni kwamba ile hukumu wa milele katika jehanamu.
And it's almost like that through our prayers,
inamaanisha kupitia ombi letu,
we are reaching out and grabbing them by the collar.
Tunaenda tunawafikia na tunawashika na shati zao.
Just as they are about to descend into the flames.
Kama kidogo tu wanakaribia waingie katika tanuri ya moto.
And we're pulling them back.
Na tunawanyakua
And restoring them back to God. And the thing is, we may never know that actually happened. Because all we've been doing is praying in the Spirit. But that's okay if we don't know. The important thing is for me to pray. And let God do the work. Remember, we cannot change people. God is the one who gives the increase. But now let's see this presented a little bit differently. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now what's happened in Corinthians is this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul confirms that the Christians in Corinth were operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Yet in chapter 1 and in chapter 3, he confirms that there are tremendous divisions in that church. There are preachers who have been preaching things that do not line up with truth, even though the preachers say they line up with truth. So there is tremendous confusion, division, and strife in this church. And in spite of that, the gifts of the Spirit were still in operation. Now let this sink in. Just because the gifts of the Spirit are manifesting in a church, it does not mean that that church is spiritually mature.
hilo kanisa limekomaa kiroho.
It does not mean the pastor is constantly teaching truth.
Alimaanisha kwamba mchungaji mara kwa mara kufundisha ukweli wa neno la Mungu.
It does not mean there is not strife or contentions in that church.
Alimaanisha kwamba hakuna ugomvi na hakuna mkutano kanisani.
And it does not mean that God has given his stamp of approval of everything happening in that church.
Na pia haimaanishi kwamba Mungu amepeana thibitisho lake na muhuri yake kwamba hakuna chochote kibaya kinachoendelea kanisani.
But what's happened in the church today is this.
Lakini kinachotendeka kanisani siku ya leo ndio hii.
We have a tendency to run to all these services where we hear the gifts are in operation.
Tuna ile hali hapa nikikati za kukimbilia sehemu na makanisa mapya ambayo tumezingia kipawa cha Roho Mtakatifu kinafanya kazi.
Because we think if the gifts are in operation, that must be an incredibly wonderful church.
Kwa sababu tunafikiria kwamba mahali ambapo vipawa vinafanya kazi vya Roho Mtakatifu hiyo ni kanisa la ajabu.
But remember, we have already learned that God exalts truth above power.
Lakini tumejifunza kwamba ukapata ukumbuko ya kwamba Mungu analikuza ukweli zaidi ya nguvu.
Years ago, I wanted to see the gifts in operation.
Miaka iliyopita nilikuwa natamani nione vipawa vikifanya kazi.
And I thought that is a sign of great spiritual maturity.
Na mimi nikadhania kwamba hiyo ni ishara kubwa ile ukomavu wa kiroho.
But as I have spent years praying in tongues.
Lakini nilipokuwa nimechukua muda wangu mwingi nikinena nikiomba kwa ndimi.
I have learned this.
Nimekuja nikajifunza hivi.
I would rather be in a church service where pure truth is being taught.
Ni vyema niwe mahali ama kwa kanisa ambapo ukweli peke yake inafundishwa.
And I'm not seeing the gifts in operation every service.
Ambapo sijawahi kuona ile karama inadhihirishwa katika kazi.
This is so opposite of what is popular today in the church.
Hivi kinyume sana na kile ambacho kinatendeka makanisani siku ya leo.
But remember, truth will remain forever.
Lakini kumbuka ya kwamba ukweli utabakia milele.
Jesus said you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free.
Yesu akasema ya kwamba mtajua kweli na kweli itawaweka huru.
He did not say you will have power and the power will make you free.
Hajasema ya kwamba mtakuwa na nguvu kisha nguvu itawaweka huru.
But we today typically are so excited to see something happening.
Baada siku ya leo tunasisimuliwa sana tukiangalia kitu kinatendeka.
And we fail to realize there is a greater something happening every time we pray in tongues.
Na tunakosa kutambua ya kwamba kuna kitu kikubwa kinachotendeka kila wakati tunapoomba katika dini.
Paul said that the Christians in Corinth were carnal.
Paulo anasema kanisa la Korintho walikuwa ni kanisa la kimwili.
He said they were babes in Christ.
Anasema kwamba walikuwa ni wachanga au watoto wa kiroho.
This means the gifts of the Spirit can even operate through babes in Christ.
Inamaanisha kwamba vipawa vya Roho Mtakatifu vinaweza vikatenda kazi hata kwa wale watoto wa kiroho.
I am no longer captivated by a manifestation of the gifts.
Mimi siwezi nikasisimuliwa na ile dhihirisho ya vipawa vya Roho Mtakatifu.
I'm glad when they manifest.
Mimi nafurahi kwa sababu niko hivyo.
I praise God when they manifest.
Mimi nasifu Mungu wanapodhihirishwa yale vipawa.
But I am not told to build myself up on my most holy power.
Lakini mimi sijaambiwa kwamba nikapata kujenga imani yangu takatifu katika ile nguvu.
I am told to build myself up on my most holy faith.
Lakini ninaambiwa kwamba nikapata kujenga imani yangu takatifu katika ile imani.
And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Na imani chanzo chake ni kusikia neno la Mungu.
Observing the gifts in operation does not cause faith to come.
Unapotazama dhihirisho ya vipawa vya Roho Mtakatifu haitaleta imani kuja.
But the more I build myself up on my most holy faith,
lakini ninapojijenga imani yangu katika ile imani takatifu,
there is an anointing that is increasing in me.
Kuna upako ongezeka maishani mwangu.
And this will result in power.
Na hii inazalisha nguvu.
I no longer seek for power.
Mimi sitaonea kiu sana nguvu.
I seek for truth.
Mimi natafuta ule ukweli.
And the Bible says that God is love.
Na andiko linasema kwamba Mungu ni upendo.
I seek for love.
Mimi natafutia upendo wa Bwana.
His love.
Yeye ni upendo.
Because I know when I'm flowing in His love,
kwa sababu najua kwamba ninapokuwa katika upendo wake,
will eventually manifest. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. In the original Greek, what this is saying is, concerning the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, brethren, I would not have you remain ignorant. In other words, the gifts were in operation, but the church had a misunderstanding as to why the gifts were in operation. Now pick this up in verse 4. He says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. This means there are different kinds of gifts of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is the one who gives them. And in verse 5 he says, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. This word administrations, it's actually talking about the ministry callings. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And he says that there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. In Ephesians, we see that Jesus gave gifts unto men. And that these gifts are the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So here in verse 5, he is saying that the Lord Jesus is the one who administers the ministry callings to Christians. So in verse 4 we see the Holy Spirit is the one who administers the gifts of the Spirit to Christians. In verse 5 we see that it is Jesus who administers the ministry callings to Christians. Now look in verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, briefly, this is what we're reading. We have the ministry callings of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Those are administered by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus. Then we have the gifts of the Spirit administered by the Holy Spirit. But God is the one who determines how this power, these gifts, will be flowing through the ministry callings. God is the one who works the gifts of the Spirit in the ministry callings.
Na Mungu ndio anafanya kazi katika ile vipawa vya kiroho katika ile mwito wa kihuduma.
But Paul opened this by saying, I don't want you to remain ignorant of the spiritual gifts.
Na Paulo anafungua kurasa akisema kwamba sitaki mkose kufahamu juu ya vipawa vya Roho Mtakatifu.
So in verse 7 he begins giving us a clarification of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit.
Na mstari wa saba anaanza kutuelezea bayana jinsi ambavyo inavyotenda kazi vipawa vya Roho Mtakatifu.
So he tells us in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all.
Lakini kila mmoja upewa ufunuo wa Roho kwa kufaidia.
This means that the Holy Spirit will work His gifts in people individually for the benefit of everybody.
Hii inamaanisha kwamba Roho Mtakatifu anaenda kutekeleza ama afanye ile kipawa kwa ajili ya kila mmoja ili kila mmoja wa Kristo wapate kufaidika.
In other words, the manifestation of the gifts is not to exalt the preacher.
Katika lugha nyingine ile dhihirisho ya vipawa sio kwamba ikweze ama inue mhubiri.
The manifestation of the gifts is to exalt Jesus Christ. And in verse 8 he continues, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
Maana mtu mmoja kwa Roho apewa neno la hekima na mwingine neno la maarifa apendavyo yeye yule.
To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit.
Mwingine imani katika roho yeye yule, na mwingine karama ya kuponya katika roho yule mmoja.
To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues.
Na mwingine matendo ya miujiza, na mwingine unabii, na mwingine kupambanua roho, mwingine aina za lugha, na mwingine tafsiri za lugha.
But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Lakini kazi hizi zote uzitenda roho huyu mmoja yeye yule, akimgawia kila mtu.
What this means is that the Holy Spirit is the one who determines when these gifts are going to manifest. It means that I cannot operate in a word of prophecy whenever I feel like it. I cannot operate in a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge whenever I feel like it. The healing that he speaks of here, I can't do it anytime I want to. What this means is that the gifts of the Spirit are not a ministry calling. And far too many Christians will say things like, I'm called to the ministry of wisdom. I'm called to the ministry of the word of knowledge. I'm called to the ministry of, and they'll name one of the other gifts. But the gifts are not a ministry calling. They are a work of the Holy Spirit when He decides it's time. And you cannot pick and choose when He will use you. Because it says He divides to every man severally as He will. That means he might use you in the gift of the word of wisdom this coming Sunday.
Inamaanisha kwamba katika sehemu ambayo inakuja atakutumia katika lugha kabla ya kipawa cha hekima.
But he might not use you in any of the other gifts for another year.
Na pengine aweze akutumia katika vipawa vingine hata kwa miaka mingine.
This doesn't mean that God doesn't love you anymore.
Inamaanisha kwamba Mungu hakupendi tena.
It just means you're waiting for the Holy Spirit to move through you.
Hiyo inamaanisha kwamba unangojea Roho Mtakatifu ili afanye kazi kupitia wewe.
And too many Christians just don't have the patience.
Na Wakristo wengi hawana subira.
So they begin to manufacture things they call the gifts.
Kwa hivyo wanaanza kujitengenezea vitu ambavyo wanaita vipawa ama karama.
And they'll give people prophetic words that never came from God.
Na wanaanza kupeana watu maneno ya unabii ambao hayakondoka kwa Mungu.
You ever noticed how so many people in the world call themselves prophets?
Na je, unajua ni watu wangapi katika ulimwengu wanajiita wao ni manabii?
I personally don't believe that.
Mimi bila shaka kibinafsi siamini wale.
If a person calls himself a prophet,
kama mtu anajiita yeye ni nabii,
all I'll do is sit back and listen to what he teaches.
Mimi kile nitakachofanya ni kwamba nikae tu nitulie chini nisikae nisikie kile ambacho anakifundisha.
And to be quite honest with you,
na ili niwe wazi na wewe,
most of these people that call themselves prophets,
wengi wa hao watu ambao wanajiita manabii,
got this calling from themselves.
Ambao wanajiita wenyewe.
They didn't get it from God.
Hawakupata huo mwito kwa Mungu.
Now listen closely to me.
Hebu sikiliza na unielewe.
You're not going to have revival in Kenya if you keep following after every person that calls themselves a prophet.
Wewe hautakuwa na ufufuo kama kila wakati unakuwa unafuatilia ule mtu ambaye anajiita ni nabii.
If you don't learn to test the spirit, you're going to be deceived.
Kama wewe hautakuwa makini kwa Roho Mtakatifu utadanganywa.
And there's too many of these prophets that have been exalted by man and not by God.
Na kuna manabii wengi ambao wamekuzwa na wanadamu bali si Mungu.
And I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord.
Na mimi ninasema ni wakati akoma kwa jina la Bwana.
Guard your hearts because the deception is increasing in this nation.
Ukapata nimesema kwa sababu madanganyiko yanaongezeka katika taifa hili.
And I say unto you this night,
mimi nakwambia hiyo usima.
If you reject this teaching that you are hearing this week,
kama uko hapa na tupia
you shall stand before me in judgment. For you will have rejected my word and my truth. And you will be separating yourself from me. You will separate yourself from my grace. And my glory will not rest upon you. But I am a God of restoration. And if you will fall on your knees and yield your heart to me, I will raise you above the lies and deception. And I will pour an anointing upon you that you've never known. For I am Almighty God. And there is none like me. Do not follow the callings of man. Follow my callings. For they are the ones who will lead you into truth. I call you to account this night. My word has gone forth. What will you do with it? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Let's finish this up. So he has said that the gifts of the Spirit are administered by the Holy Spirit. But then in verse 31 he says this. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way.
Takeni sana karama zilizo kuu, hata hivyo nawaonyesha njia iliyo bora.
In other words, he's saying, yes, it is a good thing to want the gifts to operate. He doesn't want you to be discouraged in this. He says it's not wrong to want God to use you in the gifts. And he says, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way to go into a deeper level of power. And he begins explaining this in chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal.
Nijaposema kwa lugha za wanadamu na za malaika, kama sina upendo, nimekuwa shaba iliyo na upato uvumao. Upato uvumao.
And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing.
Tena nijapokuwa na unabii na kujua siri zote na maarifa yote, nijapokuwa na imani timilifu kiasi cha kuweza kuhamisha milima, kama sina upendo, si kitu mimi.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing.
Tena nikitoa mali zangu zote kuwalisha maskini, tena nikitoa mwili wangu niungue moto, kama sina upendo, hainifaidi kitu.
Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
Upendo uvumilia, ufadhili, upendo ausudu, upendo autakabari, aujivuni, aukosi kuona adabu, autafuti mambo yake, auone uchungu, auhesabu mabaya, aufurahii udhalimu, bali ufurahia pamoja na kweli. Uvumilia yote, kuamini yote, utumainia yote, ustahimili yote, upendo aipungui neno wakati wote.
And notice in verse 8, he starts off and he says, charity never faileth. This word charity literally means the love of God in action. What he's describing here is the character and nature of Almighty God. And he's saying, you want the gifts to operate in your life, and that's a good thing. You can covet for these gifts to operate, and that is permissible. But there is a higher level in God than just the gifts in manifestation. And he says that higher level is this: operate in the love of God. Because this love will never fail. When you're walking and operating in the love of God, the power of God is going to be right behind. And he says in verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, or the love of God in action.
Basi sasa inadumu imani, tumaini, upendo, haya matatu, na katika hayo nililo kuu ni upendo, na upendo ni upendo wa Mungu inaofanya kazi.
And then he says in chapter 14, continuing this thought, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy.
Utafuteni upendo na kutaka sana karamu za roho, lakini zaidi kwamba mpate kuhutubu.
This prophesy is not me prophesying to you about what is coming in the future. When he says prophesy here, this is what he means. Get yourself to the place in God to where you are going to hear Him so clearly that you will be able to stand up and deliver the very message that is on the heart of God. What is the very message that's on the heart of God? Truth. He's saying, you may want to operate in the gifts. But instead of pursuing after the gifts, pursue after the love of God. And the more you're flowing in the love of God is the more you're going to be able to hear God. And remember what we read in Jude. And ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. So in chapter 13 here, he's telling us we need to pursue after charity or God's love in action. Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says the Holy Ghost sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. Jude said that when we pray in tongues, we're keeping ourselves in the love of God. And God says when you are doing all of this, He is going to be able to use you to start speaking His truth. And in chapter 14, he begins explaining how praying in tongues brings all of this to pass. And that is where we will pick up tomorrow. Everybody stand. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Asante Yesu Christo.
Praise your holy name, Lord. God wants revival to hit this nation. But revival, true, genuine revival, is established upon truth and love. It is too easy to be led astray. We're seeing this in the United States in a terrible way. So many Christians are walking away from truth and embracing false doctrine. But God can take the nation of Kenya, and He can turn this nation into a lighthouse of the gospel for the entire African continent. Kenya can become a birthplace of genuine revival on this continent.
Kenya inaweza ikatokea mahali ambapo ni kweli ambapo ufufuo inazaliwa katika bara hili la Afrika.
And this is why God is so concerned about the wrong teachers.
Na ndio maana Mungu anausema sana na ile mafundisho ya wale waongo.
He wants us following after His truth and His word.
Anataka tukapate kufuata ukweli wake na neno lake.
He wants you to be willing to lay down all of the traditions.
Anatamani ya kwamba utupilie mbali utamaduni zote na itikadi za wanadamu.
The only traditions Christians should have
utamaduni ambao Kristo shaki wao nao
are those described in the word of God.
Ni utamaduni ambao umefafanuliwa katika maandiko.
It doesn't matter what country they live in. It doesn't matter how they've been raised. We have to be willing to lay down every tradition. That does not facilitate truth being preached. Remember this. You are not responsible for anyone else other than yourself. You cannot change another person's heart. You can love them, worship with them in church, fellowship with them, pray with them, but you can't change their heart. But you can sure change yours. And you have to be willing to mature beyond the people around you. What I mean is this. If nobody else in this room wants to grow in the Spirit, and you are the only one, then you be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And you go so deep into God that you can turn around and serve the fruit of His glory and truth to your brothers and sisters. I am firmly convinced that God is laying a foundation for an incredible work in this nation. There are too many people who have been praying in this country for this country. And I truly believe God wants to do something in Kenya that has never been seen in the history of the world. And every single one of you can have a part in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.